Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
And that is us for a Monday evening and 2 hours of it. And we welcome you in. Larry Bluestein with you up until 10 o'clock this evening. Full guest list, huge evening. And thanks so much to K-Raj for ushering us in with the Hurricane Hotline. I always love to hear Katie Meyer. I always love her. She is just a winning coach. And I always love to hear that. And heard Jim Morris earlier. I remember when Coach got here and really from Georgia Tech and did just an awesome job throughout his coaching career. And now this will be his last year. So it's exciting on a lot of fronts at the University of Miami. So many things happening this time of year, basketball-wise, especially women and men. They're up at the ACC tournament and they begin play coming up. So that's where Josie is, and kind of on the note tonight, the second hour, as I said, up until 10 o'clock, but the second hour is going to be interesting. You're a Hurricane fan. You're definitely going to want to hang around for that, because at 9:45, we have defensive coordinator Manny Diaz. We'll pick his brain. Like that guy. I mean, he's an exciting guy. The recruits love him. The players love him. He's emotion-filled when he coaches, and I like that. So hopefully I'll have that emotion by 9:45, but certainly going to plug in with him. And a couple of commitments lately, a lot of action going on, and about 9:30 or so, Andrew Ivins, from 24/7 Sports and Inside the U will join us, kind of brief all you Hurricane fans on what's going on down there. And one of them was a commitment happened over the weekend, and he will join us. Samuel Brooks, linebacker from Miami Northwestern, University of Miami's newest commitment. And he'll join the show about 9:20 or so. And then one of the most underrated linemen, I think, offensive linemen in South Florida, Caleb Boateng from Fort Lauderdale. He's picking up interest from a lot of schools. He'll join us as well at 9:05. We'll talk to him. First hour is kind of like a lot of different things. About 9:45 or so, we'll talk to, as we've done the last 3 weeks, we've gotten all the new head football coaches, and we'll add two more of them tonight at 8:45. Coach C.J. Wimberly, who's the new head coach at Blanche Ely, he's going to stop by. We'll talk to him about what the Tigers got going, a lot of talent. And then one of the best coaches around, I'll tell you what, his track record is preceding him in a major way. Coach Cedric Irvin, who's now the head coach at South Ridge, and I'm telling you, watch the Spartans, because they are going, not that they haven't taken off, they won state 2 years ago, but you see what he did, what Coach Irvin did last year at Miami High, one of the schools that he went to, and now he's at the other school he went to, and they turned things around, I think, from two or three wins to 11, and really within a minute or a couple of minutes of heading to state and maybe even winning it. He'll join us as well at 8:30. One of the top defensive ends around, and we've watched him for almost 2 years now. Cardinal Gibbons, just a junior. He's got another year to go, class of 2019. Chris Bogle, he's going to join us in just a few minutes, and also joining us in about 2 minutes or so. We kind of delve every – I think it's kind of reserved for Coach Balmaceda from South Dade. Every year at this time, we have to pay respects as the South Dade Buccaneers won the 14th wrestling title in school history, 13th team title. They won a dual title earlier this year, the first year of duels, so 14 state titles. We'll talk to Coach Vic Balmaceda in just a few minutes on that as well. But a lot of things going on. As we said, this time of year, jump on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. The website is loaded daily, 10 different things every week. We have all the promotions on the events coming up, the 7-on-7s, the camps. So we never lose sight of that fact. Also, during the next month or so, we'll plug in with some of the coaches, like tonight with Manny Diaz, last week with Butch Davis. We'll plug in with some national coaches. You have to kind of like gravitate your way through, or you know, through who has spring, who doesn't, because sometimes it's tough to get the coaches on when they have spring. So we'll navigate during the. We'll definitely navigate some of the coaches, so we'll give you a chance, because there's a lot of kids that from South Florida area are playing all over the country. So, you know, we'll talk to Charlie Partridge up at Pittsburgh. We'll hook him with a few people just so you get an opportunity to see some of the athletes that are going strong. As I mentioned before, South Dade has just become just a machine. I mean, it's a yearly thing. Coach Balmaceda, it is a village down there. I mean, it's not just Coach, but he's got a whole bunch of people working with him, and outstanding wrestling team. I shouldn't say a team; it's a program. They start them out young. It's a family. They have one of the largest cheering sections up there. The furthest away too. You know, you're talking 200 plus miles. And it's just been something that happened year after year. When they won on Saturday night, they wrapped up their 14th overall title, 13th team title. Remember, they won a dual title. First year of dual wrestling this year in Florida, and they won that earlier this year. Phenomenal job, and Coach Balmaceda joins us this evening. Coach, again, we reserve this spot for you every year, and you haven't let us down in the last four years, and congratulations again.
Oh, thank you. It's like deja vu, man.
Yeah. You know what, Coach? I mean, it really is something that you probably kind of pinch yourself from time to time. I mean, here's a program that continually churns out top-flight athletes, not just wrestlers. You know, you had Hill and you had Kieran Taylor, and you've had some really great guys who played two sports in the past. But it also is a place, if you want to just wrestle year-round, you come to your program, you have your off-season programs, the kids get exposure. Like we said the other day, where people were kind of surprised that the kid from South Ridge beat Aronoff, and I'm thinking, look at the competition the kid from South Ridge wrestles. He's South Dade, Southwest, everybody almost every week. He's in major tournaments. You take a look at what you developed. It's a year-round deal, and these kids have bought into the fact that this is what they live for.
Absolutely. We're blessed to you know, sometimes it feels like it's not a blessing when you're wrestling the schedule you wrestle. But when we're down here in Dade County, the competition is top notch, and it really prepares you for you know what you're going to see at state. And so we are blessed to be in the area where it's given us the top notch competition. We also blessed that we have middle school wrestling down here, and our kids club is really developing.
You know, you take a look at this program since you joined it back with Coach McCoy, and it's always been it's been a family. I mean, no matter what. I mean, you have now you virtually have kids that you coach their parent. You know, and I'm talking about Duck Reyna and his son Brettley, who won his second state title. You take a look at and your son Brevin, who won his third state title. You take a look at these guys, and they're all so close. They grew up together. They know one another. I mean, the families are close. They hang out. They go to Hurricane games together. Talk about that, because I mean, you could have a really good team, but if you're not really close and you don't do things together year round, the chemistry may not always be there.
Yeah, you're making me feel pretty old saying I coach their parents, but that's the truth. And the longer I coach, the bigger the family becomes.
Yeah.
And like right before the finals, we had a barbecue outside, somewhat of like a tailgate kind of thing. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And I, you know, you just see the support that we have coming back and the help that we have. And, you know, from previous wrestlers, even if they don't have a son that wrestles in the program, but they're just so proud of being a part of this program. And they come back and they come to watch. And like you mentioned earlier, our fan base is growing, and they're not afraid to yell out, "We are South Dade," and and it is a family affair, and I think that's one of the things that make us the strongest, because you know, and like the kids say, you know, I have little kids running up to me, you know, sons and stuff, saying that like they can't wait to be a South Bay wrestler. And are you going to be wow. my coach when I'm there and all that?
Yeah. Oh. Putting pressure on you. As we're speaking with Vic Balmaceda, head coach at South Dade, wrestling program is as good as any in the country. I mean, you take a look at Lake Highland Prep, and I mean, that's a machine, obviously, but yours is done in a whole different way. I mean, let's be real about it. I mean, your kids maybe come from 4 to 6, 7 miles, not 700 miles away to wrestle, but that's a good thing because you guys have an opportunity to go against a program like that, get better. I mean, obviously, what you did with Fleming Island being a distant second, I mean, they pushed you at different weight classes. You had a couple of head-to-heads as well. You take a look, and also, and I know you'll want to kind of pay attention to this because a lot of people haven't in the last couple of days, and that kind of like sizzled me a little bit, but what a streak that ended on Saturday night with Brandon. I mean, you broke their winning streak, a dual meet winning streak, but I mean, you've got to take your hats off to what Russ Cozart has been able to do over a 30-year period. Talk about that. I mean, I kind of think that the wrestling got done so late, people really didn't realize that when Brandon didn't win, it was the first time in almost two decades.
Well, the last time they didn't win a state title, it was South Dade who knocked them off, I believe, right. 2000 or 2001. I can't quite remember. But, you know, we were also a thorn in their side when it came to the traditional tournament.
Yeah.
And just think that this year in the dual meet state championship, that Brandon wasn't a part of it, that the team that had 459 win streak in over 32 years wasn't actually a part of the inaugural dual meet state championship is
crazy.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is.
And so Dan Walker's doing a freaking wonderful job
yes.
over there in Lake Highland Prep. I mean, I'm at
Lake Gibson. Gibson
and knocking these guys off. And
yep.
he should be proud. But yeah, Coach Cozart, you know, raised the bar and set the bar high for us to try to accomplish and break records.
Let's talk about Brevin. I mean, here's a kid that I know that there was, I think, sometime during October and November, and he had a picture where he was flexing his muscles, and he was a big guy, and you said, when did this happen? Wow. I mean, I still remember him as that little kid trailing behind you and your wife, and mm-hmm. now he's anything but. He's a three-time state champion. Gets it done in the classroom, is just a perfect kid. I mean, everybody loves him. I mean, he's just such a great guy to be around. What's it like to coach your son who has all that going for him?
Well, puberty's a wonderful thing. So once he's kicked into puberty, and you know, you mix that with the daily routine we have of working out and practicing, the muscles are going to start coming out. You know, sometimes coaching your son is very demanding and tough, and he's, you know, he wouldn't be as good as he is if he wasn't stubborn and strong-willed, and then I don't think our program would be as good as we are if I wasn't stubborn and strong-willed. So we butt heads a bit, but when seeing his hand get raised, you know, in the state championships or at the Super 32 or anytime we take him to a national tournament, it makes it all worthwhile. It's a whole different animal when you coach your kid because you need to know when to turn it off, and you can't take the frustration home with you. And,
right.
and sometimes it's a long ride back in the van from South Dade to my house. You know, something went wrong in practice or something went wrong at a tournament. But the more he matures and develops into a man, the better we're getting along.
Yeah, so. And just from an outsider, I'll tell you, I watch him, his mannerisms, he's a respectful young man. I mean, when he's out on that mat, I mean, he doesn't, he's never questioning things. He just does his job, and he's always in control. I mean, and you've seen wrestlers like that all your career where you have a wrestler that gets on top, and more than likely, he's just going to stay there until something's done, and but that's experience. That's him growing to, you know, from a kid to a man. He's got getting that man strength where he doesn't just have to rely on technique. It comes a lot easier for him. But you take a look at him. You take a look at the kid, Brettley Reyna, who's a you virtually watched him be born. So, and I mean, and you watched his progression as well. And now you have a younger son who's doing the same thing. I mean, it's all product of the year round, Coach. I mean, you get those guys doing this. They're going. I mean, I see where the tournaments are starting this Saturday already. I mean, if you're going to be on that podium, you got to start, right? I mean, you got to start now.
It's a year round thing to be as good as kids like Brettley Reyna. Brettley Reyna is pretty much of a prodigy. I mean, he came out of the womb and was watching wrestling videos and wanting to watch wrestling videos before my son was interested or as good as he was. Brettley Reyna was traveling the national circuit, and that kid knows more technique than I do, you know. So, but yeah, you're right. You have to start at an early age. If you do start later, you better be ready, because you're going to run into kids that have wrestled since they're little. And the kids program is where it's at. And this animal that you call Southgate High School wouldn't be running like it is. This machine wouldn't be running like it is if it wasn't for our Gladiator Wrestling Club and my assistant coach, Duck Arena. I mean, it's amazing. You should see if you walk by there and saw the little kids and how much technique these guys have already. When they get to high school, it's almost just like, you know, polishing them up and keeping them out of trouble and making sure they're eligible. You know, that's the difference between back in the days having a state champ or a one-timer, a two-timer. Now we're looking for three-timers, four-timers, and national champions and things like that.
And also having some inspiration, your principal. I mean, great, one of the greatest guys I know. I mean, he's been there the last couple years supporting you, been in that corner. This year he's standing up.
That was nothing more, you know, honorable or pride fulfilling than standing next to my principal with the state championship trophy in my hand, you know, being able to stand tall next to him. You know, that was amazing.
Good stuff. Coach, I can't say enough. Congratulations once again. Look forward to getting you next to March again here. And I know you have a young team, and a lot of ways you'll be back in the mix. And congratulations on what you do and elevating that bar.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry. I'll talk to you again next year, man.
Good stuff. Thanks. Vic Bellmacita, the head coach at South Dade. What a great job he's done as a wrestling coach. If you guys understood, a lot of people out there don't understand competitive wrestling, but it's very interesting, and a lot of athletes come out of it. Our focus goes to football. When we come back, we have a huge first hour. Chris Bogle from Cardinal Gibbons, one of the top defensive ends for 2019. Coach Cedric Irvin, new head coach at Mushup, but rest. And we end the first hour with the new head coach at Blanche Ely, CJ Wimberly. We'll be back right after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
With football, I think it does. I don't think there's going to be any dispute with our next guest, because his high school, even though he doesn't wrestle, his high school has been just instrumental in wrestling in South Florida. He's Chris Bogle, one of the top defensive end prospects for the class of 2019. He goes to Cardinal Gibbons, one of the top teams for the 2018 season, certainly. And he joins us right now. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Our first guest was the coach from South Dade, wrestling coach, and certainly, you know, being at a school like Cardinal Gibbons, wrestling has always been, an important, and you have a few teammates that wrestle on the team. I mean, as you look at it, I mean, they go hand in hand, don't you think?
Yes, sir, because they're getting stronger every day, so it's like, is working out.
Sure. And the endurance too. I mean, they'll go 6 minutes nonstop, and it'll get their cardio going and get their win. What about you? I mean, how do you spend in your off season? I know that you train, you're doing a lot of stuff, camps, a lot of events like that. So what's your kind of routine? Because I know this is a year for you where a lot of interest is starting to take hold. Everybody's going to be watching you at every event you show up. So what does Chris Bogle do to remain in shape and then get bigger, faster, and stronger?
Yes, sir. I work out 6 days a week, so it's like it balances out. I'm trying to get better each and every day, get faster, stronger, just get ready for the next season.
Yeah, no doubt. When you take a look at this career, I mean, you look back last year and you were starting to, I remember in the springtime, a couple of coaches dropped by, started looking at you. You were still kind of thin and you were growing and growing into your body. What was your first thought? I mean, had you ever expected that one day that these major colleges would be looking at you? I mean, were you that much into football when you were younger, or has it just come in the last year and a half?
At first, I wasn't really, like, into it. I didn't buy into it until I came to Cardinal Gibbons. I wanted to play basketball.
Right.
But then when I stepped on the football field, the sky was the limit for me. And I listened to Coach DeBuck and Coach Bennett and Coach Martell each and every day.
Yeah.
So it's just like God took over.
I mean, and it has. I mean, I watched you over the last year because of the fact that you come in there with a Julius Peppers type of body. I remember when Julius Peppers was in high school, a phenomenal basketball player. He went to North Carolina, but you know, his deal has been in the NFL. But you look at him and his reach, like yours, you have a long wingspan, and that is always such a tremendous advantage, especially for a defensive lineman. Talk about that and how that's worked, because I know athletic wise you already had that athleticism from basketball, so it coming over to the football field wasn't that much, but talk about how you got the technique and started using your God's given the reach, the speed, the quickness. Talk about how you've been able to combine your physical and your natural abilities with stuff that the coaches are teaching you.
Like I said, it's just the coaches. I listen to them each and every day to get better and better. What we work out is, like, relentless. So I just take those key things into consideration and use it when I'm on the football field.
Are you critical of yourself? Do you watch film and say, hey, you know, I should have done that, or I should have – or do you watch film with the idea of just taking in things and remembering things, or do you say, oh, I should have done that? How are you, like – because I've never seen you and I've never been in a film study with you. I want to – you know, tell me what you're like. Are you more – are you harder on yourself, or you're the type of guy that goes, you know, I'm going to learn things and I'm going to get better?
As a team, we watch film, so
right.
It's like everybody says something about each other, so it's like we have to get better and better as a team overall. But I watch film as soon as I get home,
right.
after we watch film as a team, and then I just sit down and break myself down and see where I can get better at.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure you did that as a basketball player too when you were younger. I mean, because that was your sport. I mean, you see things that maybe the next time you do differently, but that's only human nature. I mean, and talk about that on the football field. Now, you if you go home at night and let's say you watch some of the film from last week, or and just look how much you've improved, or the competition you're going against. What are things that you make mental notes? You get out there the first thing on Monday and start working on the things that you watched on the film?
Yes, sir. I actually watch my opponents also to see what their weaknesses are,
right,
and what I can use against them to help my team be better off.
I mean, and that's why you're getting where you're at. Certainly, you study and you learn from it. Chris Bogle joining us, Cardinal Gibbons defensive end, class of 2019, has established himself as one of the best around, and goes to these events and gets a chance to prove it. When you went to a game right after the season, it was like. Class of 2019 game up at Auburndale High School. Talk about that experience, because, I mean, here you are just finishing up a season, and you get an opportunity to see some of the top guys for the next class. Was that pretty good to send, to kind of set the tone and see what you had to work on as well?
Yes, sir. It's like the top kids in the whole state of Florida was going against each other, east and west. I had to play my heart out. It was for – we was representing South Florida, so it was like, go out there, ball out, and just make a name for yourself.
Yeah. And you have, and certainly as you now, this is the time of year too where a lot of colleges are coming in. Spring's coming up. They're gonna, you know, a lot of the schools are gonna be down here checking you out extra. I know that you went on a visit over the weekend or to Miami. You've been other places. Talk about those visits and what you're looking for in a school from your standpoint. I know football wise, but I mean as far as academics as well.
Yes, sir. Academics is a big part in my recruitment because coming from Cardinal Gibbons is a private school, Catholic. They take academics serious. So it's like if you don't have the grades and stuff, you won't be able to play on the field.
Yep.
So academics is always going to take you to the next level. That's our main focus.
This spring, I mean, you mentioned Coach DeBuck. Awesome job. Everybody asking the question, does Cardinal Gibbons have the chance, and especially coming up in your senior year, to finally get over that hump and get to state? You look at this team right now. You see what's coming back. You have an opportunity to know these guys as well as anybody. Talk to us about Cardinal Gibbons for class of 2018 and what people should expect.
Something special. We're going to bring you home. After coming off the loss from American Heritage last year, it put a big chip on our shoulder. Coming short by 1 point is like we just got to do it this year.
Yep.
We've been grinding each and every day as a team. We're just going to work and work to get to the next level.
Good stuff. Well, Chris, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Congratulations on everything that's come your way, and we'll be watching you and rooting for you all the way.
Thank you so much.
Anytime. Chris Bogle, defensive end, just a junior from the from Cardinal Gibbons. Had a University of Miami visit. He's been looking at a lot of schools. He's one of those guys. He is definitely one of those guys with the it factor. As he grows, you're going to see he's getting stronger and stronger. Speaking about getting stronger and stronger, our next guest has turned out to be one of the top coaches in South Florida. I mean, he's done it. He's a disciplinarian. He knows what he's doing on the football field. The kids respect him. The parents love him. When he was at Westminster Christian, he turned that thing around, made them one of the top teams in the state. Last year, goes to Miami High, revamps that, gets a really good coaching staff with him, gets some really talented players, and now he's headed home. He's going to Miami Southridge, and I'll tell you what, dear, you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who dedicates himself and the people that work with him than Cedric Irvin. He joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much, and welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Anytime, man. Anytime your name comes up, I got to be around it because you got that magic. I know that. I'll tell you what, you have the formula. And I still remember talking to you at the University of South Florida. It's about 100 degrees, and you guys are ready to play in that championship game at a 7-on-7. And you said to me, you go, nothing beats hard work. And certainly you've lived by that. You've surrounded yourself with people all your playing career, the Nick Sabans of the world, who I know is a special friend of yours. Talk about that. Talk about the discipline and how maybe discipline is the most important part of any team.
I think just discipline in your regular everyday life is big. You know, that's one thing I preach, you know. But discipline in football is very important, Larry. And why? Because, you know, you have to do things the right way to be successful. You know, football is a game of inches. You know, you got to take the right step, or you got to have the right placement of hands, or using the right technique. And all that comes down to is discipline. I always tell my players, there's three ways you learn. You know, watching, listening, and doing. And if we as coaches know what we're doing and we're teaching the right things and the kids can do what we're teaching, you know, you should have a pretty good team and a pretty good individual. Yep. By your teaching.
Walking back into Southridge, this is when you were there last, and as a player when you were there, this was one of the storied programs in South Florida. Talent everywhere, great coaching. And obviously, Southridge has always been one of those teams, whether it's Don Solinger or whoever was at the helm, they've always been able to win. The kids in the South Miami Heights area, Goulds, the entire, a lot lot of athletes. Talk about what it's like now. I mean, you're coming in at a different time. Our culture is different to begin with. But going back there, does it feel the same? I mean, are those the same athletes that are still walking the halls now that they were walking them in the 80s and the 90s?
Larry, it's funny you ask that because there's a coach there, and you may know of the coach or know of his kids. His name is Coach McCray.
Oh, yeah.
And Coach McCray was there, and he had the two kids, the two twin boys that went to UCF.
Yep.
I think one was playing with Green Bay this past season. But I asked him that same question. I said, Coach, how was it, you know, when I was playing or when we were even students in the building? He's like, it was a different mindset.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And then you see that, too. With parenting, and you also see it even with coaching these days. Even look at the Pop Warner days when we was coaching. I mean, yeah. My Pop Warner days when I was playing, Larry, those coaches used to slap you upside the head and everything and then tell you go get your parents. And then when you go to your parents ain't got nothing to say. My parents used to say, you better do what that coach tell you to do.
Right.
But nowadays, if you do all that or slap a boom, you going to jail.
Yeah.
So it's a different mindset. But like I told those guys when I first got there, I said, listen, we was here, you know, we was up 21 points on a lot of teams before the pep rally even started because of our work ethic, you know, because what Don Sullivan just did. And that's what I learned and what made my transition easy when I went to Nick Saban was he gave us discipline, he gave us structure. Now, were we the best team as far as the size and all that? No. I mean, I can still look back. I was bigger than my guard.
Yeah, you were.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you were.
And going in those games like back then, you knew out of 100 plays, we were going to run the ball 87 times.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? And we still won 29 games in a row. You know, so at the end of the day, I think if coaches know what they're doing and you can display discipline and structure, you're going to have a shot.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Coach Cedric Irvin joins us. New head coach at South Ridge. We said this last year. You and I were talking, and I said, new head coach at Miami High. And what you did was phenomenal. And by most standards, everybody you talked to, you should have won the state title last year. You came within a couple of plays of getting there, and certainly when you got there, I'm sure you would have beaten Dr. Phillips. And you look at the turnaround in just 1 year at that program. You look back at that, and there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of people. Like you've always told me, as long as you surround yourself with good people, you have no worries. And you did last year. You did at Westminster. And I know now you're putting together the same type of staff down there. How essential, and you know how essential, but how essential is a great staff and knowing that you don't even have to say anything to anybody? They're all on the same page.
If you look at, I think when I first got to Alabama in 07, 08, Nick Saban had a list of all the guys that coached under him or GA under him or whatever it is. I mean, look at the two guys now, University of Georgia, University of Tennessee, you know, University of Florida. You know, so you had guys, you got to surround yourself with guys that are dedicated, guys that have the desire that you have and got the will that's willing to do whatever it takes. Because now, especially coaching here in Dade County, you're not doing it because of getting a check.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
That check is not going to do, not even going to put gas in you.
No, barely.
You know, so you got to really love what you do, and you got to willing to be able to better your craft in this coaching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to sit down. You have to watch film. You have to ask questions. You have to do that. And what I do, what I learned was I have to coach coaches at times because, you know, the places that I've been, you know, and in the situation I've been, I wasn't a guy that was just under Nick Saban. You know, I sat there. I took notes. I watched.
Sure.
I asked questions to this day. You know, and I don't have a problem picking up a phone, calling any of those coaches that I've been around to get ahead or get the next step.
Yeah, no doubt. Cedric Irvin joining us, new head coach at South Ridge. And also your ties at Michigan State run extremely deep. You're there a lot. You have a lot of friends, a lot of people that were great to you and still are. What's that like, that going back? Because I know you go back a few times a year and you get a chance to see. I know you and I talked a bunch about Blake Ezor back in the day, but we don't get to see Blake that much anymore. I know that when Lorenzo White played at Michigan State, he played with Blake in the 80s, And but you had a lot of guys. I mean, you look back at your rosters that you played with. A lot of kids went on to the NFL.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to play with guys that are like a best friend to me is Robert Smith,
yep.
Plaxico Burress, Gary Scott, who's out of Suncoast,
yes,
Long
yes.
Beach. You know, I played with Demetrius Underwood, and I played with a lot of guys that had a shot. Matter of fact, my left tackle was Flo-Dair Adams. I played with Derrick Mason as a freshman. Haseem Muhammad was the host on my visit. So, yeah, I played with those guys and also kept in contact with those guys. But going back, Larry, it's great.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell people, when you can go back and you can see people looking on the side of your eye, and it's like, hey, that's Cedric Irvin. Or go back, or homecoming, and I always find someone wearing that old 33 jersey from back then.
That's
and
nice.
I go up to these guys sometimes. I say, hey, where you get that jersey from? Oh, man, this guy that used to wear the jersey, he was bad. He was the best running back. I said, hey, that's me. That's my jersey. You see those guys that want to take pictures with you, man. And
that's great.
And they hit them stories, and people say that you were their hero growing up. I mean, to me, it's one of the best feelings in the world. And I always tell these kids, you know, don't be scared to explore that.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, for the opportunity, it's great to go back and, like me, my best friend is Mateen Cleese. You know, he won a national
basketball, right? Right.
So, you know, and now I have Tom Izzo number.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I call Tom Izzo, you know, and things like that. So, you know, to have that, to meet people like that, and still to be friends 20 years later is great.
You know, before we let you go, I know you value being that coach and everything, but the one thing that I know that you love is being a dad, and your kids are coming up pretty quickly, and I got a chance to watch them, and your oldest son seems to have some of dad's speed there. Talk about that, just being a dad, and I know that's going to be ultra tough when you have to coach them.
You know, the thing about that is I pray for it, Larry, you know, because I grew up without one.
Right.
And to accomplish the things I did, it was nothing but God's blessing upon my life. You know, because I don't have that person to say that, you know, that uncle or that dad guided me through. You know, that was there every step. The guy that took me to practice or the guy that took me out there on the field and taught me how to cut or catch a ball. You know, so for me, yeah. People say, why do you believe in God? Because I know when I prayed, my prayers was answered.
Yep.
Yeah, and now to be the father of these two kids, man, it's just such a blessing, man, to see myself in them and be able to have them be raised together. I mean, it's a joyful thing every day.
I'm sure it is. Coach, thanks so much again. Welcome back. We'll see you soon, I'm sure. And definitely, I know you're excited and to be back at the Ridge, and a lot of people are doubly excited for you to be back.
But Larry, the way you talked about me at the beginning, all right, the way you brought me on, I need you to put that on my answer machine.
I will. I will.
You know, if I can get you to put that on there, I know you're a busy guy, but we get a chance, put that on my answer machine so that where people can listen to that when you talk about it. I appreciate it.
I will, man. Thanks so much for coming with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Anytime. Cedric Irvin, one of the best. If you watch him play, obviously in college, in the NFL, and down here in high school, he was part of the Davis brothers and Cedric Irvin, one of the best backfields that you'll ever see. Hour to go. We're here until 10 o'clock this evening. We'll wrap up hour number one. New head coach that we just saw. One new head coach. We'll go up to Broward. We'll visit CJ Wimberly from Ely right after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com. Sports leader, 25 years and counting. Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein takes you up until 10 o'clock this evening. Thanks so much to Chris Bogle of Cardinal Gibbons and also Cedric Irvin, the new head coach at Miami Southridge, for joining us in the last segment. As we have done over the last couple of weeks, Matt, I think we've had every single new head coach on that will be in South Florida, and we kind of wrap it up with a program that has a storied tradition, a lot lot of athletes, and new head coach moves in there at C.J. Wimberly, who is very familiar with South Florida. He knows this area extremely well. He knows the talent. He knows everybody, and he joins us this evening. Coach, congratulations, and thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
And this is an exciting time. I mean, you know, I mean, you're at a program with a lot of great past, tremendous athletes, supportive administration, and you walk into a situation where you get a chance to do some really good things. And I know you're excited. Talk about the opportunity, everybody knows Ely. Everybody knows, you mentioned Ely nationally. Everybody is well aware of the program and the athletes. Talk about your plans as you head in and a great spot.
Man, just first and foremost, man, I'd like to give all the honor to God for even granting me this opportunity, man. You know, this is something I definitely been looking forward to, something I prayed very hard about. And just to have this opportunity to come back and lead this program is you know, something you only dream about, you know. My task, my main focus is to come back and bring Ely back to the old traditions of winning and producing great quality talent. You know, we got a lot of guys who have been in the NFL. I definitely want to bring them back along and add them to what we're trying to do today. And that's build young men from the bottom up. So I think we're in a good place right now. We're just getting started. Kids are energized. I'm ready to hit the ground running.
You know, Coach, we had Coach Toriano Morgan on last week from Ely. I mean, from Dillard, a rival school, obviously. But he looked at it in the same way. And you're both community-oriented schools that have a long, rich tradition. And when things are going good, you get a lot of people. I mean, especially in the Ely neighborhood, where a lot of the kids live in the area, a lot of the fans live in the immediate area. It's and I look back when they went to state, and I remember the crowds that they had and the support that they had. I mean, that's not so far away. You said yourself, you get a disciplined football team on top of the athletes that are available to you all the time, and this scenario can play itself over every Friday night at home.
Absolutely. And just piggyback off what you're saying, you know, we all know in Broward County, when Dillard and Ely are both top programs, football is very good in Broward County. And it's time for that to return.
I agree.
It's time for that to return. We want to bring both of those programs back and be staple programs. So I definitely embrace that challenge for both of us. With that being said as well, you know, like you said, Pompano is a very fruitful area. We have all the players we need right here.
Yep.
You know, my job is just come here and secure the talent in this area and give them a program that the kids can be proud of in the community and, you know, something they look forward to when they go to high school.
Yep.
I want Pompano kids to want to be Ely Tigers. That's my main objective.
Yeah, and that's how it's been. I mean, that's how it's been in the past. And I, you know, I remember a lot of those teams. As we're speaking with Coach C.J. Wimberly, new head coach at Blanche Ely, you take a look at the winning formula. And like you said, if you get kids to buy into what you guys are doing, and as we just talked with Cedric Irvin as well, who's at Miami Southridge, we talked to him. He said the same thing. You're going to get your players the best coaching, the most impressive discipline. Now they've got to execute. They've got to put in the work to make everybody look good. You take a look at your first. The big thing for you is going to be spring. It's going to be a huge evaluation time. I mean, these kids don't know you. You don't know them extremely well. All jobs are open. Talk about what spring's going to be, and I know you're leading up to it now with your weight training. But talk about spring, and if the kids are out there and they really are serious about playing for Ely, what they're going to walk into this spring with you guys.
Oh well, first and foremost, we're going to build a lot of structure here, a lot of organization. Everything is going to be pretty much intentional. When we get into spring practice, be a fast-paced practice where everyone's actively engaged at all time. Everyone's going to get a fair shake to show what they can do. And at the end of the day, we're going to put our best of the best on the field. We're going to give us the greatest opportunity to win.
Right.
With that being said, you know, I'm still in the process of solidifying my coaching staff. I do have a big name that I will be bringing aboard.
Nice.
Great Ely alumni, NFL star, Clint Session.
Wow. He's
definitely going to be a part of what we're doing. And, you know, the feedback has been great, man. I'm getting guys that want to be a part of this. Like you said, some of those alumni, they want to come in, they want to help out, and that's all good. The kids need to see people who graduated from this institution who have been successful academically and also, you know, from a football standpoint.
That's a great point you make, because I'll tell you what, I think that a lot of these alumni of Ely, and I've seen, I ran into the Cry. In fact, I was honored to go into the Broward County Hall of Fame with both the Crockett brothers last year, and we talked the same thing about this, how, you know, it's disheartening to see a kid that grew up in the neighborhood going to Deerfield or going somewhere else, and that's something that they said that they'd like to stop. You know, because it's just not fair. I mean, these kids play for the Chiefs or the Cowboys or whoever they play for growing up, and are very much the fiber of Pompano Beach. But then when high school comes along, and there's a lot of these guys, I don't have to tell you. You know, I mean, these kids are getting misguided by a lot of adults. It's not the kids who are guiding them; it's adults. And I think that what they have to do is sit down this spring, check out what you guys got going on, and as you mentioned with Clint, and I know you have a lot of other good coaches coming aboard as well. I mean, they need to understand that it begins and ends right there. I mean, it's not going to happen down the road. It's going to happen right there. And if they want to buy into being a family, and I know that you said this before, if they want to be part of our family, we welcome them with open arms. But if you're not, there's the door. I mean, you know, I mean, you've got a lot of kids who want to do this.
And that's absolutely correct, man. You know, like I said, the thing that I'm finding out is a lot of the kids are misguided. They, you know, they think that, you know, 9th, 10th grade, they should have scholarship offers or whatever reason. So it's going to be my job to help educate them on how the process goes.
Yep.
And really get them acclimated into being student athletes. That's my main goal, first and foremost, as an educator first. And with that being said, you know, we just want to build that atmosphere of that organization and structure so they'll know, you know, what is expected from them.
Good stuff. Well, we're excited, and we're excited to see it unfold too, Coach.
Great, man. You know, I'm excited as well. Like I said, we're in the first phase. By the time we get ready to roll in the spring, we'll be ready.
Okay, and we're going to be there, and we'll drop by, watch us all unfold. Coach, again, congratulations. Great school, great program, and we'll talk to you really, really soon.
Let me just say shortly, real quick, I do also want to thank all the coaches who I coached for in the past, who gave me an opportunity to get at this in this position. I'm very grateful, and I'm going to do a good job and making sure that I represent this school at the highest level.
No doubt. Thanks, Coach. Coach C.J. Wimberly joining us, and appreciate that. As our first hour comes to an end, thanks so much to Vic Valmaceda from South Dade High School. Joined us about 8:05. Also to Chris Bogle from Cardinal Gibbons, Coach Cedric Irvin from Southridge, and we ended up with Coach C.J. Wimberly. We're back for one more hour, huge hour, at 9:45. Coach Manny Diaz, defensive coordinator at the University of Miami, join us, and we'll see you in a few.
Radio.com. From the Edmore Sugrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSugrass.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
And that is us for hour number two. Larry Bluestein with you on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com radio for a Monday evening. Thank you so much for joining us. Great first hour. If you missed, we'll have that all up on our on the website, as well as everything else on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. If you go there, you get recruiting information, you get player profiles, you get everything. So, and that's on demand, right? Are we right on that? It's on demand?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're all on demand. If you go to WQAM and SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, they're both up top, and Matt's doing a great job of putting everybody up. Last week we had all eight guests. We have so far we have four. We're halfway to it. About 9:45 or so, we're going to be talking to Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator at the University of Miami. 9:30, Andrew Ivins. A lot of things going on with the University of Miami. A lot of recruiting information. Andrew will kind of fill us in on that. Also, Samuel Brooks, who is the latest commitment, he'll join us at 9:20. But we open up our second hour with one of the guys that I've watched for the last couple of years, lineman out of Fort Lauderdale, has just really blown up. Hard worker, getting bigger, faster, big, stronger. Just got out of a couple of impressive visits. Caleb Boateng from Fort Lauderdale, senior to be, he's just a junior, 2019, joins us this evening. Caleb, thanks so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show, Mr. Bluestein.
Anytime. You had quite a weekend, a lot of good visits, Georgia Tech, Georgia, Clemson. Wow, you had some pretty deep. Talk about that. I mean, that to me, I could sit there the rest of the show listening to all your information on the visits and how they went and what the schools were like. And this has just got to be really mind-boggling for you to go to these tremendous programs like that and get an opportunity to look around and see what you like.
Well, yes, sir. It was a pretty amazing opportunity. My coach, I, and our twin defensive ends, Demetrius and Desmond Dorsius, we visited five universities, which were South Carolina, Allen, Clemson, Georgia, and Georgia Tech.
Nice.
They were all a pretty great experience. I would say Clemson and Georgia Tech stood out the most, though, 100%.
What was about, you know, I hear that the campuses are beautiful and Georgia Tech were like one of the great academic schools, but what is it about schools like that that would separate them like from a South Carolina, or is it that small town charm? What is it about those areas?
Well, a school like Georgia Tech is in a very big town.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Yes, sir. Coach Seawalk preached mainly about academics and the next 40 years instead of just the next 4 years, which was very important to me.
Right.
And Clemson is also teaching the same philosophy with the all-in lifestyle technique of building a better man. So that really pushes you to want to be great.
When you go on these visits, and I mean, obviously, these are tremendous visits. Last year at this time, there wasn't a whole lot of interest for you. You were still maturing. You were still learning the game. Oh, you flash forward a year, and so much has happened. You got bigger and stronger. You learned a lot more of the game. You've had the opportunities to compete against some pretty decent people and get coached well. When you go up there and to schools like that, the only reason I could ask it is because I remember that one of the kids that one time, I think he went to Ole Miss on a recruiting visit, and he kind of broke away from everybody and went to where the student population was and kind of checked out that area for himself, you know, because he knew that they were going to like brisk right through the academic part, you know, and say, well, here's this building and that. But he went in and talked to people and found out how they liked that. And, you know, not even as an athlete, just as a student. Talk about that. I mean, you know, did you, because I know you're very academic oriented. Was that the priority for you to make sure? Because, you know, football's important. It's not going to last forever. But like you said, to have a 40-year plan, and part of that 40-year plan would be your academics. Talk about that and what it was like to see what they have for, you know, what their studies are, how many majors they have, the important people who've graduated from that school in those areas. Talk about that, too, because that's away from football.
Well, Mr. Bluestein, at a school or a great university such as Georgia Tech, one of their previous offensive lineman, he was also there on our tour, and he was showing us about how him personally had taken on many opportunities in the city, such as internships, such as Coca-Cola and CNN and other such internships. These are very important to me because many institutions may have these opportunities, but not all institutions have them for their student athletes also.
Nice.
And it was very important for me to know that he said that the head coach, Coach Johnson at Georgia Tech, really looks out for his student athletes when it comes to them getting internships in the future.
Nice. I mean, and you take a look at that school and you take a look at Georgia Tech, and just the academic part of Georgia Tech, one of the most well-respected schools in the country, one of the best engineering programs, tremendous business program. As you mentioned, you get a chance to rub elbows with the Coca-Cola company that's right there, and quite a few other programs, companies are there as well. On a football level, they run a different offense, and obviously you guys are used to. Are you kind of hyped up for a blocking scheme like that? I mean, because right now you're kind of run pass, right there would be more run oriented.
Well, I know Georgia Tech currently runs a triple option, and I'm pretty sure they will continue because it is a very successful system.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I love pulling, and I just like hitting linebackers at the next level. So I believe it's the perfect fit for my ability.
Yeah, I agree. That's a very important part. While you're up there, obviously you said you went to Georgia, which is another really nice school and a nice program. Talk about that as well.
Well, with Georgia, UGA, I visited there last summer and I camped there.
Okay.
And originally I didn't really get to see as much. We only really saw the fields and like basically where we camped and we left. But on this visit, we got to see all the facilities and the locker room. And it really, Georgia really shows their tradition that they have. They showed how many players are in the league. And that's a pretty impressive stat line because the wall was covered across every team. Someone from Georgia, whether it being A.J. Green or being Aaron Murray, it was just all over the place. You just showed a very strong program tradition.
And they do. I mean, being in the SEC, very competitive. Stadium's nice. The area's nice. And a small town. Now, there's a real small town. Athens is a smaller area that the school kind of revolves around the entire city. Whereas you mentioned Atlanta, metropolis, kind of like here. You know, I mean, there's other distractions, but it, to me, in watching you, Caleb, play, I mean, you could fit a lot of those offenses. It doesn't matter where it is, and certainly you have the next 6-7 months to kind of ponder all these different these visits. What's your schedule now? I mean, you over the next couple weeks before spring, do you have a workout regimen? Do you guys do you get together and work out with the linemen? Talk about what you're doing now to elevate your game.
Well, currently, I have been working out in the weight room and on the track during the week with my head coach, Richard Dunbar.
Right.
Then on the weekends, I work alone, usually mostly on footwork and takeoff and speed. We really focus on being team-oriented, so everyone on the team has been working out individually, getting stronger, quicker, faster, and we realize this year is really our time to shine for 2019. With us having the twin defensive ends, our D lineman Emmanuel Villatoro, our safety David McFadden. So I'm really pushing all of our top tier guys to make huge strides in this offseason so we can be ready for a great spring practice.
No doubt. Caleb Boateng joining us, offensive lineman, Fort Lauderdale High School. Has been doing this for a couple of years and getting bigger, getting stronger. And you had mentioned working with the brothers on the defensive line, Del Toro as well. You have a pretty decent group of younger kids, too, that have been working hard. Do you find yourself becoming the teacher sometimes with some of the younger offensive and defensive linemen who are just maybe freshmen and sophomores?
Well, yes, sir, I really do. Our offensive line last year was a pretty young group, with me being the oldest, and I'm still 16 years old.
Wow.
They can always look up to me for leadership, but strongly I see the skilled players in the backfield relying on me heavily, which we have great relationships in school and just friendships out of school, so I really want to protect my running backs and my quarterback as much as possible.
Good stuff. Well, Caleb, again, congratulations on all the good things coming your way. I know that you've worked extremely hard, and we'll be there watching you, pulling for you, and I'll tell you what, Fort Lauderdale is going to surprise some people this year.
Yes, sir, we are.
Good stuff. Thanks, Caleb, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much for having me, Mr. Boosley.
Anytime. Caleb Boateng, Fort Lauderdale High School. Quite a trip he took. Some prestigious schools, some of the tops in the Southeast and in the country. And he deserves it. Hard worker on the football field, really good student. And we're excited about kids like that, especially the linemen. Big show up until 10 o'clock, as I mentioned. When we come back, Samuel Brooks, linebacker at Miami Northwestern, recent University of Miami commitment, still ahead. Manny Diaz, University of Miami defensive coordinator, at 9:45. Welcome back to the South Florida High School Sports Radio Show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein with you. Thanks so much to Caleb Boateng, the offensive lineman from Fort Lauderdale, who joined us in the first segment of our second hour. It's been a huge show. We still have a big-time show up until 10 o'clock. Don't forget Manny Diaz, University of Miami defensive coordinator, will join us about 9:45 or so. Speaking about University of Miami over the weekend, had a commitment, another local player, which we have been preaching for the last couple of years. If you want to win, get those South Florida kids in the fold. And over the weekend they did, and got a really good one. This young man is in 2 years of playing already has just been impressive, to say the least. Got hurt last year, but has been working extremely hard, got bigger and stronger and already quick and agile. Samuel Brooks from Northwestern, he joins us this evening. Samuel, thanks so much for taking the time and congratulations.
Thank you, Duke.
This is, I know, last year kind of frustrating for you during a state championship year, but you became one of the big supporters, one of the guys who I know that Coach Edwards talked about having around a lot and you know, keeping the kids up and inspiring them and telling them, you know, just coaching them up with your knowledge and things. How was that last year? I know it wasn't easy at the beginning, but did it get a little bit easier, you know, as you found out that you were needed to help out as well?
Yes, it wasn't easy at first because, you know, I was depressed because my season was cut short and everything. So, but, you know, I had to suck it up and be there for my team and everything. So I was there every game telling them, you know, just because I'm hurt doesn't mean y'all lay down, you know, like stuff like that. So,
you know, a lot of the kids, they responded, and I know you are proud of them. You look at the kid Cansey, who came alive last year as a youngster like yourself. I mean, he stepped in. You had a couple of the seniors move in and do extremely well. It was a great defense to begin with, the infusion of the defensive backs, yourself up front. Talk about the experience of playing for a Coach Edwards, who is a defensive guy who, you know, who preaches defense. Talk about that and some of the guys that, you know, you went in the battle with every week.
I think Coach Matz is a great defensive coach. You know, I've been playing with Coach Matz since my ninth grade year.
Right.
You know, I came in when he first came in back to Northwestern and everything. So I've been playing with Coach Matz for 3 years, you know. He taught me a lot of things, you know. He taught me to work hard, not only on the field and in school, everything like that. So, I think Coach Matt is a pretty good coach for me and for Miami Northwestern.
Yeah, no doubt. Samuel Brooks joining us, linebacker, Miami Northwestern, recent commit to the University of Miami. You take a look at last year and this, you know, the year that you were having. I mean, you were doing a tremendous job. You made extremely major strides from the year before. But then you take a look at what you had to do now. I mean, I know that they say that when you get hurt, you usually come back bigger, stronger, quicker, better than before. Talk about what it's done for you, because I know you were motivated once you could to get back into the weight room and to start working out. What has it done for Samuel Brooks, you know, being hurt and using that time? Because I saw you and you looked like you put on some weight, which is good.
Yeah. Well, that injury actually put a chip on my shoulder because, you know, as my junior, I only played 5 games.
Right.
We went to state. I couldn't play in the state game. So that injury, you know, that injury is pushing me to go harder. So this year, you know, last year y'all thought Sam Brooks was a beast, but this year I have no mind on the field, you know. So that injury pushed me to go harder, put a chip on my shoulder, and I'm going for everything this year.
And obviously, as I've heard, that you've worked extremely hard. You're getting in the weight room, getting bigger, which is essential. You had never been hurt before. Not to that extent. I remember the night it happened, and I even said to your dad, and he looked at me and goes, you know, this is the first time I think he's ever been hurt, you know, to that extent. Talk about the feeling, because I know that I saw you, and, you know, you were kind of, you know, you didn't know until obviously you saw the doctor. But I talk about what it was like for you last year, because I know you being young and trying to, you know, suck it up, as you said, and look at the reality is that you still have another year. A lot of these guys, it happened maybe in their senior year, they didn't have the next year to prove it. You have this next year, and you're taking advantage of it. What are you going to do now between now and spring? I mean, have you been getting into the weight room a lot? Have you been conditioning? Talk about what you've been doing getting ready for spring.
I'm back in the weight room. You know, I've been back in the weight room about a month now.
Okay.
My doctor cleared me to go in the weight room. So, yeah, I'm doing everything in the weight room. I'm back running. I'm back jumping. The only thing that I'm not doing yet is cutting. So, right now, I'm going to say I'm about 70%, you know, but I'm still ahead of everything and, like, that stuff like that.
Right.
So, I say by the summertime, I'll be fully ready. But, you know, coach is not going to play me. You know, I'm just going to focus on the fall.
Sure.
Season, so.
Yeah, well, I figure you would. And now that you have the commitment out of the way, and talk about that. I know the University of Miami, a really good fit for you, good program, close to home, obviously. Talk about the reasons. We know that they're on the upswing, and there's a lot of guys locally. Talk about what sold you on it.
I actually posted committed in April. But, you know, my top two schools were South Carolina, Miami. I was supposed to commit after UM on spring game. But, you know, I went to UM Saturday and something just changed my mind. You know what? Something changed my mind. Like the atmosphere, being with Coach Diaz and all the time. Something just changed my mind. I had a good feeling about it. I had a comfortable decision. So I just pulled the trigger. But, you know, UM has always been there for me. You know, they never gave up on me. They've been loved. Before they even offered me, they've been loving me. You know, after they offered me, the love never changed. After I committed, the love never changed. So, you know, the number one thing is loyalty. So I see all the loyalty in the coaches and UM staff.
And you also see that they're bringing a lot of guys, a lot of depth, a lot of line depth. That's got to make your decision a lot easier as well. Talk about that as well.
Well, the line depth, I had actually contacted on Josiah. Yeah, we was talking about that too. That hasn't changed my mind a bit because, you know, well, I'm basically obviously going to be a linebacker.
Right, right.
But I can't play both on the next level. You know, so yeah. That's really not like an obstacle that I can't overcome. So.
No, I'm excited for you. I mean, because I always thought you'd be a good fit for that program. I mean, the way you run, the way your motor is. I mean, just being close to home, the family, all the friends, and everybody could watch you like they did. And it was exciting last year, the way things turned out with the turnover chain and things like that. So, hey, listen, maybe by the time you get there, you can innovate something else.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, Samuel, thanks so much for taking the time. Congratulations on everything that's come your way, and we're cheering for you to get back and can't wait to the fall.
All right, thank you. No problem.
Anytime. Samuel Brooks, newest University of Miami commitment, and tough kid. Quick, strong, dedicated to the sport, and like he said, it's a little chip on his shoulder from the injury, and that's never easy, but now he's back full at work and working harder than ever. And as somebody who's been on top of that and everything else that's coming over to University of Miami, he's become a regular on our show, Andrew Ivins from 247 Sports and Inside the U. Wrote some really decent. I was reading all of his notes last week on some of the recruits, and he had mentioned Samuel Brooks as a possibility. And Well, I'll tell you what, Andrew, on Saturday you became a prophet. You had been talking about how Samuel Brooks could be one of those guys that soon could commit, and lo and behold, he's committed, and you had a really nice thing on him. First of all, thanks so much for checking in, and talk about that commitment, because that certainly gives Miami another lift.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think it, you know, this was all Saturday, but this is a recruitment Miami has been working, I think, since probably May when they evaluated his spring game up in Delray Beach Atlantic. I mean, talk with some people around the program. I mean, they think he's the top kid in the Miami-Dade Metro for the class of 2019, and they got him staying home. So they're really high on him. Obviously, some schools kind of backed off given the injury, but Miami has stuck by him. He's a kid that they really wanted. I think he's a kid who's been compared to maybe a little bit of a Shane Ray, someone who can crash the edge or play that linebacker role. So they're really excited. And you know, this isn't just, you know, Miami just now turning up the heat. I mean, they've been working this one since Mark Richt's Paradise Camp and stuff like that. So kudos to the coaches for getting in early and prioritizing Samuel Brooks and making him feel wanted.
Also getting Chris Bogle into that uniform as well may be a priority. Talk about that, because we had him earlier, and I know that he was impressed as well.
Yeah, it was really big on Saturday for Miami to get Chris Bogle down here. I mean, there's not a lot of pass rushers that come out of the area like him. I mean, he's drawn some comparisons to maybe a Brian Burns. I mean, I don't know if he's that twitchy, but he's a heck of an athlete and a guy that Miami – is doing everything they can to make people want it. I mean, they wanted to get him on campus around the new defensive line coach, Jeff Simpson, and based upon everything he told me on Saturday night, he absolutely loves the former NFL Falcons defensive assistant. So I think that was big. Still a ways beyond that recruitment. I think he's going to be one where it's probably going to go all the way down and multiple officials. But Miami seems to be telling the right things. I think Mom's pretty sold on him staying close to home. So we'll see if Miami is able to pull that one off, but he's definitely a good talent. And just given how Miami finished last cycle of defensive line, I think he's a kid that probably almost at the top of the board in terms of targets.
You know, when you talked about Coach Simpson coming in, replacing Coach Cool, who was, you know, one of those guys who is, you know, he's him. You know, there's not very many Coach Cools around. And, you know, he established himself as one of those guys with the kids right away. I mean, they respected him. They liked his tough nature. Simpson's a little bit different. Talk about him. And obviously he brings that experience of the NFL and high level college, and he was a high school guru for a long time as well. Talk about what you've heard about him and how kids are starting. You had mentioned that both of the kids met him and liked him. What have you heard about Coach Simpson?
Well, you hit it kind of right on the head there with the NFL stuff. I think, you know, Coach Cool has put a bunch of guys in the league, and he did that when he was at Missouri, and he did it in a short time here at Miami. But on the flip side, Coach Simpson now can tell these guys that he's been in the NFL. You know, he's been in the Atlanta Falcons, been around these guys. And I think a lot of kids' eyes are kind of lighting up on that. I know Chris Bogle was one of them. And then, you know, Willie Mosey, the lineman from Chaminade Madonna, Mike Morris,
yes,
he was also over there, the Florida State commit from up in the Delray Beach American Heritage. So, I mean, he doesn't have much experience to date recruiting. I mean, he only recruited a little bit at Georgia State, but it's like you said, he's a coaching legend in the state of Georgia. He won a bunch of state titles there at Beaufort. He's had two kids that went through the recruiting process. One of them's at Wake Forest now, the other's at Army. So, I mean, this is a guy who's familiar. I think there's going to be a little bit of adjustment period, but everything I've heard of people that have met him, they think he's going to be the right fit. And I think Miami has got a good plan, and they're going to use that other assistant coach. They got Jonathan Pat, who became the 10th assistant a couple weeks ago. I think they're going to use him on some of those defensive line targets. So I think it was a good hire. You know, obviously, I think a lot of people wanted him to get Charlie Partridge or Kevin Patrick, but they still managed to find someone that kids are somewhat excited about.
Yeah. No, and I think that, you know, by the end of spring, I think the tune will be a little bit different because of the fact of his knowledge of the game. And that's, I think that's important because he's going to teach them things that they're going to improve at, and then they're going to see that, and then they're going to say, hey, you know what, this guy's for the real. And that's how Coach Cool came in. You know, he taught some of these guys a few things, and before the season began, he was a legend. I mean, you know, everybody started talking about him and loved his demeanor. I mean, it's exciting. Andrew, also, you have a lot of with Miami sitting in the same position they probably sat at last year at this time, number one, and I think 247 has them as the number one for 2019. Obviously, the Alabamas, the Ohio State schools like that still don't have all their kids in, and either does Miami. How does this class, you think, kind of at this time last year stack up to the 18 class, which really was good?
I think Miami, they're in a good spot here. I think we talked about this. I don't know if it was the last time I was on your show, but when you go back to the month of January, Miami was definitely trying to put the bow on its 2018 class. But a lot of the time, coaches have been out in the road. They were getting in with the 2019s and 2020s, and we're seeing it. That's why they're able to lock up these guys like Jeremiah Pate, the wide receiver out of the Jacksonville area. Marcus Crowley, the running back at a Jacksonville training coach. I mean, Miami is one of the first schools to really, really target these kids and build a relationship with them. Now all these other schools are coming in and offering them.
Yeah.
But I think this has the potential to be a top five class. I think we're going to see some changes to the commitment list. There's no doubt. I mean, there's obviously always additions and subtractions. But you have to like what Miami's doing really in the Tri-County area. They're locking up a lot of guys, especially defensive linemen. I'm a big fan of Cameron Williams, the defensive end of Chaminade Madonna. Yeah. Sam Brooks, he's another one. I mean, that's a guy, like I said, they think he's the top guy in the city, so they want to keep the city kids home, and they're getting him. And then Jeremiah Payne, like I said, I mean, that receiver, we've seen him a few times this spring already, and he's just been a dominating force. And Miami did everything they could to get him. So I don't think they're going to have the numbers to maybe make a run at the number one class, but I think – this definitely has a chance. It's a challenge for the top five, and it's going to take another good season. I mean, a lot of kids seem to be excited about the IPF, and they're doing a great job of getting talent on campus. Everyone else is hosting junior days. They're doing these invite-only events, and they're really hitting them out of the park.
Good stuff. Andrew, thanks so much, as usual, and I appreciate your comments on that, and we'll hook in with you soon.
I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Anytime. Andrew Ivins, 247 Sports and Inside You. When we come back, we wrap it up for a Monday evening. It's Coach Manny Diaz, defensive coordinator, University of Miami, next.
Radio.com. Radio.com. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Sports has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show on South Florida's sports leader, 25 years and counting.
Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
Saucin' on you. I'm swaggin'.
Back to wrap things up with you on a Monday evening, South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Thanks so much to Samuel Brooks in our last segment, also to Andrew Ivins from Inside the U, and also 247. We had talked about the University of Miami and the strides they've made over the last couple of years, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And certainly the defensive coordinator is one of the more energetic coaches that we've had in a long, long time down here. We've known him for a number of years. Manny Diaz has done an awesome job. The kids rally around him. They love playing for him. He joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
My pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I get energized when I watch your defenses play and the way that you coach, and I know the kids really love it. And talk about that. I mean, I watch you during practices, and you're always right on the kids, congratulating them for everything. Where did that all come from? Because I remember you used to be a little bit calmer back in the day.
Well, you know, look, defense is it's a high energy exercise.
You know, sure.
And you got to play with passion. You got to play with a great deal of love for your teammates. And when we got to coach that way, and to be honest, when we got to Miami a couple of years ago, even just the way we practiced, our guys didn't appear to be having a whole bunch of fun playing football. So we felt like we had to bring it as a staff and let them know that, you know, it's okay. You know, it not only is it kind of cool to knock the hell out of other people, it's actually kind of fun. And the more you do it, the more you want to do it more.
The athletes, especially over the last couple of years that you brought in for the 18 classes, past class here with playmakers on the defensive side, the first class that you had, same thing. Talk about getting those athletes who are high energy kids who have a high ceiling, just have to learn and get some reps. Talk about that, because I know that's how you guys are recruiting. You're recruiting those kids that are playmakers, kids that are they're high energy players. They love to fly around. Talk about that, and talk about when you get all these guys, especially this last class that you've had, these kids that came in that you really were looking forward to getting on the defense. Talk about those kids as well, too.
Well, Larry, when we got here 2 years ago, we made it our sole philosophy that we were going to recruit the best defensive players from Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County, and be completely committed to that, and We are gaining the benefits of that over time. You know what I mean? And certainly the 16 class, you know what I mean, just keeping that class together, and then the 17 class, which really was important just in terms of filling some numbers because of the holes that we had on the roster. This 18 class, like you mentioned, really has some guys that we think can do some really special things. Some guys are already on our campus.
Sure.
Defensively, like a Greg Rousseau at defensive end, and Gilbert Frierson and DJ Ivy, who are both just blowing it away on our campus right now in terms of our off-season program. Gervin Hall, who, you know, we just, again, what we've done up in Palm Beach County the last 3 years in terms of what we've done out of there is, it's been as key to our success as anything in recruiting. So I think that idea of understanding that our identity as a defense is going to be completely based off of what we can recruit out of these counties, if we continue to make sure we sign the best defensive tackle in South Florida, which we did this year, the best defensive end out of South Florida, which we did this year, the best linebacker out of South Florida, which we did this year, the best safety out of South Florida, which we did this year, and the best corners. We continue to do those type of things. I think it's just, this is not at UM. This is why you want to coach here. This is why you want to play here. You don't have to guess. This has been done before. You've seen it. If you can get the best kids from down here to stay down here, you can beat everyone you can play. And, you know, our job is to make sure that the players understand that they can be developed, that they can be in a program with the head coach that is going to do everything in a first-class manner, and they're going to – they will want for nothing at UM, and that's what the facilities, the indoor facility, the new dorms that are being built at Miami, all those type of things are adding to our recruiting.
Yeah, no doubt. Manny Diaz, defensive coordinator, University of Miami, joining us. Coach, also, it seemed like the perfect storm last year, the two games against Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, the turnover chain. Everything seemed to come, you know, rally around this defense, big plays, high energy type of atmosphere. Talk about that, too, because I think that when you were a kid and you used to watch Miami, it was a lot like that. You know, you had that high energy going into the Orange Bowl and have an opportunity to see some of those big time stars make those big plays on the biggest stage. Well, here you had two games back to back that were kind of a replica of the old days, and you guys responded in a major way. From a recruiting standpoint, that's awesome. But for those kids who questioned, why did you go to Miami, right there was your answer.
But that isn't that amazing? Because, you know, you and I remember those old days in the Orange Bowl, but, you know, if you're in high school now, or if you were in high school in the last couple of years, don't remember those days.
No doubt.
You know, you were either not born or a baby or whatever, and so to see the city bring it, and to see the atmosphere in those games, and the credit goes to our players. I mean, the way that our players played in those two games, and the play that really, you know, that I can't keep out of my mind when we talk about those nights is Trajan Bandy's pick six.
Oh, yeah.
And there's two things about it. One, Trajan, a true freshman. Trajan, a guy that represents everything's about, you know, youth football, high school football in South Florida, you know, did a great job at Columbus, but just represents everything in terms of the toughness, the demeanor, the dog that means to be a football player growing up in Miami. But my favorite part about that play is the first two players to congratulate him in the end zone were also both true freshmen.
Nice.
I think it was Amari Carter and Jonathan Garvin. Three true freshmen were the first three guys to cross the line to get to the end zone. One had the ball in his arm, which was, of course, Trajan. And that is the idea of the guys that came in that didn't know anything about the losing or the whatever happened in the past, and the guys that came to Miami. And look, we will talk about these classes, the 17 class, the 18 class, and even the 19 class to an extent. We'll talk about these classes in 5 years as the guys that committed to Miami, signed with Miami when Miami was not on top yet. It's easy to sign when you're already winning championships.
Sure.
But to be the guys that have that invested interest to make their hometown team great again is something I think we'll look back on even more respect in the future.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking about Trajan's pick the year before with the linebackers. These kids never knew anything about the pass, but they came in as true freshmen and made such an impact in the ACC, winning 8 games that year as freshmen. And now these guys are on the cusp of going to the NFL. You take a look at the way that the linebacking corps has come together over the last couple of years. Now Miami pretty much has one of the best in the country. The defense has really set the tone. I mean, the offense is coming along. There's playmakers. But this defense with, as you said, this last class with the secondary and guys who can knock you senseless like a Gervin Hall or a Frierson and intelligent kids that you got too in the secondary helps. Now you have, as you said, in this last class, one of the best, if not the best defensive tackle, which is essential. I mean, you look at Alabama, you look at Clemson, they all have a multitude of defensive tackles that are big-time players that control the front. Now, you guys are in that game. Another class of that, and then another class of that, and you're right there. Talk about that, too, because and I don't have to tell you, defense, great defense is going to win championships for you, and you guys are assembling quite a defense.
We are, and I think – but what I think what was neat about this year is that we saw that next level, you know. I think we've played pretty good defense here these first couple of years. You know, we've done a lot of really good things. On our day, we've been really good. But now I think our players, you know, not just defensively, but as an entire program, understand, okay, what's it going to take now to win championships? And I think getting to the ACC championship game, I think getting to a, you know, the Orange Bowl, playing in a, you know, New Year's Day 6 game for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
I think our players now understand, the difference, and I think that's what set the tone for our off-season program we're going through right now. I think they're like, okay, it's not – okay, look, we've seen this eye to eye now. We think we can compete at this level, but now we understand just a little bit more of attention to detail, a little bit more of what it takes to succeed there. So first 2 years we wanted to establish, we wanted to look like Miami Hurricanes. We wanted to see guys that were playing fast, playing violent, look like they're having fun playing football, and I think we put that on our resume, but the next step in terms of, you know, really being the dominating defense that everybody expects the Miami Hurricane defense to be, and part of that was recruiting to that. Part of that is still trying to fill some of the numbers of our roster, you know, to get our numbers where they are, where they should be. Because to be honest, we're not there yet.
Right.
You know, but I think that's where the recruiting is so vital, and that's where our dedication to recruiting South Florida is going to pay off in the long run.
Good stuff. Coach, I can't thank you enough for joining us. We're all excited. Everybody's excited in South Florida about the future of the Canes. And you helped it out a lot tonight, because I know a lot of people are going to be talking positive after this evening.
Well, I appreciate having you on. You know, I've always enjoyed our conversations through the years. And, you know, I've been down here recruiting, wearing a bunch of other shirts.
Yeah.
And it means so much to me to finally have a U on my chest and get to keep these kids home at UM, which is the way it should be.
Good stuff. Thanks, Coach. We'll run into you soon, and have a great spring.
Okay. Same to you. We'll see you soon.
Good stuff. Great way to wrap things up. Coach Manny Diaz, awesome. 8 guests, tremendous, all of them. You could listen to them all on WQAM.com. Get over there and listen to all the podcasts. Matt, thanks so much for doing what you do. We're back next week. We'll have a great week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.